It's April 30th, 2016. 2016.
Good God, man.
That was a time skip.
What?
I'm leaving this. I'm leaving all that in. I'm just going to start over. I'm going to do another. It's April 30th, 2018, and I now pronounce you man and tree. This is Six Detmar. Hi, I did that intro wrong.
And this is another episode of 94. I'm Nick Cease. Welcome to Bottle Crow Reborn podcast. Two Dodas in the bush is worth one in Russia.
Nick, let's listen. We have fun around here, but let's not fuck around. Throw out the bullshit.
Oh,
Wind Ranger's back.
Hold on. I need to. What do I have on my desk I could safely throw? I rather would not throw my wallet. I have what would you call this? A cylinder full of Burt's Bees beeswax lip balm from some
that sounds like
of
bullshit.
The depths of my desk. Would you like me to throw it for you?
Sure.
You know what? I'm going to make sure I lower my sensitivity all the way down, or my blocker all the way down for you in Discord. Here we go.
Ooh, that was a good one.
Did you get that? Oh, it's rolling underneath my chair. Let's make sure I don't squeeze it. Okay, we're good.
All right.
And I'm Nick Cease.
Nick Cease, how do you feel about Wind Ranger being back?
It's an honor to be able to hear you talk about it. How do you feel about it?
You know, I don't have as strong feelings as I should because I keep planning to have free time, and I haven't. Hmm. I've only gotten to play one game with Wind Ranger since her return.
Oh.
But this week, I'm going to play a lot of Wind Ranger. I'm very excited that she's back.
You've been convinced?
It's a situation where, like, her weakest elements... she has so many strange weaknesses that feel like they've popped up just from the shifting of the meta, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, like, one of them is her early game, just, like, damage and fighting ability and lane presence, and the buff to power shot fixes that. And then, like, now she's got evasion on, like, bashes and stuff, which helps her late game a lot. And she's just got, you know, she's gotten the Lina treatment, right? She's gotten the consistent little buffs, and finally I think she's ready for prime time.
Well, that seems to be what the pros think as well. And, I mean, you say buff to power shot. It's, like, when's the last time it was not buffed? It's, you know, there's the damage fall off per hit. That was the major change that, like, screwed her up for a while. But now the fact is at level 4, the first hit does 450 magic damage.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good on a 9-second cooldown.
And there's a talent to increase that, too.
To 550, yeah. It's, Yeah, it's probably just one of those cases where she... well, it's a little more complicated than the cases where you just have a hero that gets slowly buffed and buffed and buffed until people realize how broken it is, right? Because her mechanics make it a little bit weird, too. And they keep saying they're fixing focus fire and removing the jankiness. This time, maybe they did, but also... they still need to change it again because basically in 7.14, you can no longer stop attacking while moving.
Huh.
It's like basically if you issue a move command, you're still within attack range of the target you focus fired. You will attack it. There's no way to cancel it, which means you don't accidentally stop attacking, which was the major thing that people complained about. But we have heroes in the game like Bristleback, like Centaur, we have Blade Mills, right? Mm-hmm. Abaddon, when sometimes you don't want to be attacking and you can't do that if you want to move.
You know, I think there's probably a record of when they first made that Blade Mail change that it returned the type of damage it received.
Mm-hmm.
And I cried so hard as a Wind Ranger player. I was so unhappy. yeah, that Blade Mail can fuck that girl up, especially if you cannot stop your attacks. That's bad.
Yeah, so they need to... there's some sort of janky way they could do it, but they need to figure out a nice way to do it, because the buff where she can attack while moving is huge. Like, that's role-changing, right? But it's completely wrong for the game as we have it. It's a very League-type thing, right? So they need to figure out how to deal with it.
Yeah. I agree. What other changes from 7.14 have stood out to you, Nick?
Well, first, you alluded to it, but they changed Basher around. Well, just generally they changed Basher so it's a better item, because it used to really kind of be bad for the gold, and the only big deal was the actual bash part of it. Now it gives some damage. But also, bash apparently used to pierce evasion, which I didn't know. Purge didn't know. Did you know?
I felt like the logical part of my brain did not, but the salty part of my brain did. No, yeah. You know what? Actually, no, I did know that, because I would hit Windrun and sometimes I would get stunned.
I would say, yeah, as a player who plays a character who gets 100% evasion, you would notice it more than just like being a PA or having a fucking butterfly and whoever, and just being like, are you serious? No misses, when one of the misses was just a bash that did a bunch of damage. But that's no longer a thing, which is good to know now. But instead, Maelstrom gets that effect. So Maelstrom goes, quote unquote, through evasion now, which is a nice buff for Windranger.
It is indeed. And it's also just a nice buff to Maelstrom, which is an item that I feel like has been increasingly popular over the last 6 months or something.
Mm-hmm. It's the wave clear aspect a lot of time. It's some nice, I think, you know, attack speed and damage too. But it's really like, it's all about the wave clear, at least on cores, which is basically the only time you build it.
Yep.
And then there's some, you know, there's other good changes here and there. There was a nerf to Ricky. I had, when I originally started this notes page on, I had the Ricky thing planned to be a bigger deal. And let's still complain about Ricky. Well, you haven't played against too many Rickies, right? I remember you talking about.
I have played against zero Rickies since the Tricks of the Trade change. And so I'm told it's real bad. I don't know.
It's real bad. So they gave him like a small nerf on it, because when they reworked it from just in the AoE, he has like 5 attacks and it just attacks everybody. Now it's the same, I think the same duration, but instead of attacking everything in it, it just attacks a random hero, or if there's no heroes, creeps. And it scales like the amount of time between attacks, but it was like over 2 a second at the max level. And it triggers every sort of proc, because he gets backstab, which means he gets multiplied damage from Agi. He gets bash, he gets maelstrom, he gets battle fury, he gets nullifier like triggers. It's just whatever. So he was just in like the 2 weeks when he was, you know, got this biggest change. If you didn't ban Reiki, there was like a 70% chance he'd be in your game. It was actually more like a 30% chance. His pick rate was like between 20 and 30%.
Cool.
Just from that change. His win rate went up 8% after the change. He was perfectly balanced at 50 point something percent, right? And then the day of the change, within 2 days, 8% up on the win rate. And then his pick rate is suddenly 20 to 30.
That's huge.
It was baffling. Like, why did you change that? What was wrong with it? Instead, you made it this ridiculously good catch tool. And people are like, oh, well, I guess you could build a force staff to get, like, push out of his ultimate. But you have to hope you don't get chain bashed. You have to hope you have enough HP. You have to hope you're not nullified. Like, all this shit. And then he gets a talent where, you know, it's the Monkey King type talent where his circle gets huger for his ult. Mm-hmm. And then that making it almost impossible. And it was a bad week. I did not want to play the fucking video game when Ricky was just being picked in most of my games, until there was one game when I think I figured out why Ice Frog changed this. You know the item we never mention? Aeon Disc?
Yeah.
That's what's good against Ricky's ult. That's how you live through it all. There was one time when we were playing against Ricky, we were getting stomped, and then 3 of us, you know, like, what if we just all built Aeon Discs? We did that. We even got he would jump onto us solo, right? He would get a bash, get some sort of proc, get a lot of damage on us until he got to that like 70% HP threshold, and we instantly got purged, so we were able to, you know, get out of nullifier, get out of a bash, and just force staff or otherwise walk ourselves out of the ultimate, and we didn't take any damage for 2.5 seconds. And this is Ice Frog's evil plan to make Aeon Disc good.
But it didn't, though. It didn't make it good. It just made it necessary. It's like,
It's all perspective.
It's like selling someone a 3,000 gold vaccine. Like, it didn't make you really that much stronger. The stats on it are ass.
It's pretty bad in terms of stats.
Did you still lose the game?
I think we ended up winning that one. It was very close, maybe. But since the change, I don't think it made him that much worse because it was just a small nerf to his ult. But it seems like things have settled down. I haven't played against just a slew of Rickies this week. But thank God.
One of the other big changes is a return of a hero we'd forgotten. Techies is in Captain's Boat now.
Yes, this was rumored by some pro players who probably like talk to beta testers or otherwise have contact with Valve. It was supposed to be in like a patch a week, a patch or two ago, supposedly. But now, yes, finally every hero is back in captain's mode before TI.
So, in celebration of this, you picked Ricky, or not Ricky, you picked Techies, or Techies was picked for you by your captain in a Battle Pass game, right? Battle Cup.
Yeah. Even before this, I think last week, we mentioned I was playing a lot of Techies. I played some more Techies this week, and then finally, here's Nick's admission of the week. Friday, me and Six are supposed to record this podcast, so this is the reason the podcast is coming out late. Saturday. Right, Saturday we were supposed to record. And I'm like, you know what? For the first time like this season since the last Battle Pass, whenever, I'm going to finally be able to play a Battle Cup. I had no intentions of winning, but we ended up winning our first game. Our name was Scoot Peeper, which is... I don't know, some sort of joke. I was playing with, you know, some of the people we know, and of course Jesse, host emeritus Jesse, who is now of the Dire Times podcast. Lovely. So we were on Scoot Peeper, and the second game, our first was like a normal game. I can't even remember it because the second game was just so extraordinary. Somehow Jesse picked me Techies, which is honestly baffling. He asked me, Nick, do you want to play Techies? I'm like, yes, of course, pick me Techies. He actually did it. Which I'm shocked. Normally, the people I play with, you know, they don't want to have a Techies game because they think it'll automatically go super long. I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I'm sure there's a correlation there. But this game did go quite a while. I think it was an 80-minute game. Yeah, I thought it was going to break my record, honestly, because nothing much happened after 60 minutes that was new. Except I got to level 25. I had a great Techies game. I was contributing. I think I had the most deaths on our team at one point. I think the most kills on our team. I think I ended with the second most kills. They were just killing themselves in our minds a lot. And they had a sniper on their team who was shit-talking me. He says, you know, oh, blah, 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 blah. As a Techies main, you're really crap. You're so bad. And then I killed him constantly. And so we just got to question mark him. It was pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then I got to level 25. And my team, I don't think they had played with Techies in a while. I got the 25 move speed on all mines talent. And I wish this was a visual medium so you could have seen just how many mines I had on the map. I had the old mini-map acne going on. Like half of our map was just covered in the proximity mines. And so then my Jesse, he just says, Nick, just put all those mines and start marching them towards the Ancient. Because we just could not finish this goddamn game. A typical like late game sniper game, right? And also sniper went one rapier, and then he went two rapiers, and then he went three rapiers, and he had ags, and that was his big plan. And he was destroying us for a while, and we would just like whittle down racks. And then I got this 25 move speed on mines. And just from all across the map, I selected every single mine I had, and I just targeted it on their Ancient. And so slowly, all my mines on the map just started walking down the lanes at 25 move speed towards their Ancient. And it was the funniest shit I can remember in a while that I've seen in Dota. It was a sight to be seen. And this was about like 11:30 maybe, and I messaged Six on Slack. I'm like, I'm sorry I'm late, but come watch this game. And I think that's about when you tuned in.
Mm-hmm.
So you just saw, like, easily, like, 50 proximity mines, maybe, just walking down my lane. All the lanes, really. And there was just these, like, heats of mines that would go in. And their hard carry, their supports, would all just try to, like, come clear creeps. I think we had Megas at this point, but they had a Luna. And they just couldn't do it, and they just kept dying because there would be 10 proximity mines, and so they'd try to... They would see one, right? They'd get within range, and they'd see one, and they'd right-click it, and then 9 others would blow up and destroy them. And then all the stasis mines started walking down, and all my remote mines. And I had a blink dagger, and I had a lot of farm as techies. And it was just a really fun, quality techies game. At one point, our friend Shirts, he renamed himself Dr. Ticklebomb for this game. I really couldn't tell you why, but yes, his name was Dr. Ticklebomb. And at one point, it was around 80 minutes. I was at, I think, the Dyer's secret shop. We were on the radio. I was at their secret shop in the top lane, and I found a single tango of his just in the middle of the river. And so I said the phrase, Dr. Ticklebomb's single tango, which in a vacuum is not funny at all, but it was, you know, 1130, 1145 at this point, at least, you know, EST where I am.
And they'd held out against this mine march for like almost 10 minutes, and everyone was getting kind of like delirious.
I was trying to play StarCraft at like a molasses glacial pace because I only had 25 move speed, but I had so many things to select and try to spread out. And so I was just moving around the map, and I was microing all my things, and, you know, my APM was up. I took the, you know, the weights off my hands, and then I'm in the middle of the river trying to select something, and I accidentally select Dr. Ticklebomb's single tango. And I think you were in the Discord with us at this point, and it was it was a bunch of people who needed to sleep. And it was quite the humorous time. And eventually we fucking win this game. I think they held out against like a solid 2 or 3 like heats of mines because they were placed around the map, and they got to their ancient at different times. And we eventually won this game. But boy, that was quite a week in Dota for me.
In the end, it took a combination of the mine march plus meteor hammers to seal the deal.
I did get a meteor hammer, that's right. Yep. They had so much stun. Like, I would just put mines in their base and blink away, and then, like, blast off away. And it was complete chaos. We all wanted to die. And we were at the point in the game where things started to not matter. And then we finally won. And then we lost our third game because, you know, we were done after that. And then we played poorly. Yeah.
But the thing is, you didn't stop. You didn't stop playing after that.
No. Unfortunately, that was the reason that we have to record today, which is Monday.
We did, however, get in a good game afterwards, but like you guys were all exhausted, but for some reason still playing Dota.
I cannot tell you why.
And we played a game where Nick was Earthshaker and I was Undying. And we had a good time with that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we stomped that game, right? We were against like Juggernaut. A Pudge was in the lane. I think somebody else was in the lane at one point.
Oh yeah, they kept bringing 3 people down, and it really didn't make very much of a difference. We ended it. You know, 27 minutes in, 54-10. They did not know what to do.
No. So there was a lot of good Dota played that evening. But Dr. Ticklebomb's single tango, I can imagine they're going to talk about it on Dire Times too. It was a good moment. It was just, you know, it reminded me of those fun moments. When you're just, you know, you're really, truly into the video game. And you're just being a goof with your friends.
Mm-hmm. So what else has happened in the news, Nick?
Boy. We've been so serious the past 2 episodes. Not serious. We've been so naturally... We've just talked a lot of shit the past 2 episodes, huh? To each other.
Yeah.
About a good, you know, in a good way. But yeah, I keep copying over the latest Dota news to the next Notes podcast because we just keep getting into good talkings about things. But finally, let's talk about some news in Dota 2. So PSG is a French football soccer organization, Paris Saint-Germain, Paris Saint-Germain, if you're completely ignorant of French. PSG is this, like, big, they're the biggest, I'm pretty sure this is right, the biggest football club in France. They're pretty good, like, worldwide. They have bought LGD. The Dota team.
That's a choice.
Is certainly unexpected, but some, you know, some higher up convinced the other higher ups in PSG, I guess, and they bought this Chinese Dota 2 team.
It's a good team.
Yeah, I mean, I don't quite know what it means, because I mean, LGD, they're like, they're not a small indie company in, you know, China, right? They're one of the better Chinese teams, kind of. So I'm assuming there was just a lot of money, or maybe they just, you know, outright bought the company, the organization, whatever you call it, from these people.
It's a strange situation to try and figure out what's going on behind the scenes. I don't think we are going to find out.
No.
But it's interesting.
It's like a thing I think we've started to hear about, where these more like older sports organizations, which normally means like old football clubs in like Britain or somewhere, acquiring esports teams and stuff. It's not completely unheard of, but on this scale and the amount of money I must imagine was involved is like a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not quite sure what their goal is. If, you know, PSG is just trying to expand into this territory, perhaps, seems the most likely. And so they, you know, they were looking for teams to buy, but they wanted a really solid team. But there's other solid teams out there too. I don't know. It's hard to know. But it's an interesting thing that has occurred.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't say too much more about it, because I feel like it's just a situation where I'm begging for more information and I'm not going to get it. So.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see if there's anything that PSG brings to the table or changes LGD, this Chinese team with this new French influence. Would you like to talk about the news down under?
Well, I feel like, so we've got two pieces of big Valve news, like the Valve, the corporation news for you this episode.
Not the like, piece of hardware and plumbing.
Well, you know, sometimes there's a connection there.
That's true.
You know,
they probably do have bathrooms in Bellevue at Valve.
Actually, if you're a Valve employee, you're not allowed to urinate or defecate at any time.
This is why I tune into Bottlecore every week. Just to hear Six talk about defecation and urination of the employees who make the video game that we play.
You know, they talk about, like, toilet humor, but I don't think there's anything funny about the bathroom. Everybody poops. And let's talk about it. No. Australian courts have fined Valve $2.3 million, that's U.S., for breaking consumer rights laws. Basically, they're doing like online purchases and returns, I think, is specifically the issue.
Oh yeah, I was gonna ask. Yeah, I think it's a Steam thing, and it had to do with the way their refund system works and how they set it in their user agreement. I think something legal that's hard to hard to explain. But yeah, you know, Valve are getting gone after. There was another thing around this time when we put this on the notes. I think in the Netherlands had this, I think their judicial system had some sort of sweeping ruling on loot box stuff, and specifically like items in video games generally. So it's not just Dota that was affected. It had, you know, do with Blizzard, all, you know, League, all this sort of stuff. And basically, they're trying to levy fines onto Valve unless they change the way they do things. And it's all about loot boxes. However, the way they do this, and if you actually take a look at the ruling, is really stupid, unless somebody can write in or you can explain this to me. The deal is that there's actual value, like literally monetary, quote-unquote, value in the things that you can get from these, quote, loot boxes, right? Our Dota 2 chests. After a while, there's normally like a ban on trading to prevent scams, but you can sell the things on the Steam market for what is listed as dollar amounts, right? And then you can spend that money, which is kind of semi-real because it's in the Steam
ecosystem. Well, and also there are services to convert that money into real money.
Not legitimately, I believe, but
no,
yes.
That's true. They're not legit, but they exist.
Yeah. But it replaces it does have actual value. It's not just completely fake value like a lot of things could do. It does have real value because you can spend it on the Steam store where you otherwise have to use, you know, quote, real money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's their issue. They don't have any issue with, like, the gambling aspect. Well, they say, and, you know, they mention the gambling aspect, and they say that's why they're doing this. But the thing that they're actually going after is the companies who do this. They have, you know, this semi-gambling type thing, and that's, you know, like, that's a bigger thing to talk about. Loot boxes, everyone's talking about loot boxes, EA, yada, yada, yada. The deal that this ruling has is if what you get out of these online gambling things in the video game has any actual worth. The like, League and Overwatch, where they don't have actual worth, no problem. Literally, like, they don't have to do anything. Hmm. And so it's actually quite stupid, this ruling.
Hmm. I think it's probably short-sighted, but, like, I could see a situation where it's, like, this ruling... I mean, like, so, okay, I can only speak to the United States legal system and court system because I just don't know the legal system of other countries that well, but my understanding is there's a lot of overlap. And the way our legal system works is precedent-based and interpretation-based, right?
Yep.
And so you can get judgments based on, like, previous judgments and based on how the law as written is supposed to work. And so I could see this being a situation where they're like, listen, we don't think it's good that League sell these skins, but there's no precedent here, so we can't sue based on that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I hate to be the person always just saying we need more information, but I'm not willing to brush this off. I would imagine this is a situation where they're like, this is an angle of attack where we can succeed. Other ones, we may have questionable legality.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, what's supposed to happen, and I think that the phrase you'll hear a lot in the judicial system, welcome to Bottle Court 2, a Judicial System 2 podcast, is you're supposed to, like, enforce and follow the spirit of the law. And so if, you know, the Netherlands are trying to go after this gambling thing that is kind of unregulated, and so it can kind of be predatory or can otherwise be taking advantage of people who aren't quote unquote supposed to be gambling, right? That's the big deal with loot boxes and stuff like that, and the whole allure to children and, you know, people who aren't supposed to be exposed and taken advantage of in this kind of way. The fact that what they get out has this monetary price tag attached to it in Steam for certain games, that's not why they're addicting, right? That's not the entire point. That's almost none of the point. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, it's the fact that you can pour money into this thing to get this thing that looks, to have a chance to get this pretty thing, right? That's sure. The whole loot box drama. So the fact that the stuff that comes out has real value is almost better. Like, it and it's hard to make a generalization about it, but, like, especially with Artifact, it's going to be a trading card game, right? And there's this big, like, 45-minute video of Gabe Newell doing a presentation where he talks about how they want the cards to have actual value in terms of, like, they want it to be a trading card game. They want you to be able to have packs of cards and have the cards that you receive have value, but they don't want it to be pay to win and blah, 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 blah. I think that's fine. Like, it's fine to have things that... It's fine to have the Steam market, I guess. It feels like to me. I don't think that's, like, the predatory part of this new unregulated online gambling ecosystem.
I'm sorry to have been distracted, Nick, but in the middle of your breaking this down, you said a thing that really got me thinking.
Oh, no. The wheels keep on turning.
Earth Spirit. Storm Spirit. Ember Spirit. Law Spirit.
Law. Okay, Law Spirit. Lay it down. Lay down the Law Spirit.
Exactly. We figured it out. That's why they're being sued, is because the Australian courts know that there's real money value tied up in Law Spirit that Valve is withholding
the
from customers.
Spirit of the law. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's...
garbage. Yes, I know.
Can you toss it right out? Can you toss out the bullshit? No, please. Keep the bullshit firmly seated.
I have some things oxygen. I could throw.
You could?
I have these little, like, Tokidoki Pegasus unicorns on my desk.
Tokidoki Pegasus unicorn?
Google Tokidoki unicorn.
I know the word Tokidoki in Japanese, but I do not know Tokidoki Unicorn.
Oh, sorry, it's Unicorno. I forgot it's a brand.
Tokidoki Unicorno. The Unicorners... The Unicornos were once simple little ponies that were out trotting and wandered into a magic waterfall. Passing through the waterfall, the ponies transformed into unicorns and found a hidden magical kingdom. The Unicornos live between the magic kingdom and our world.
Lore of the week. We Toki did Doki. It.
Yeah, I have, which I one do you Toki have? Doki. I see all the names here.
I actually have, so this, what series is this they're showing? I have, 5 of them.
Okay.
Let me see. I have one that's like an Egyptian thing. It's like gold and blue, and it's got like some like hieroglyphs on the side.
Gold and blue. I don't see one of those here.
Yeah, as I say, none of the ones I have appear on this page.
Oh, I see.
I have one that is silver and has like a UFO on it and stars with like a white mane. I've got one that appears to be representative of China because it is red with like the gold star like flag pattern and then like a red and gold dragon.
Huh.
I have one that's Hawaiian and it's sort of like brown with like a red and purple and pink mane and then like flowers and stuff. And I've got one that's like a goldfish. It's really cute.
Mozzarella leads the Mufia. The Mufia was assembled to extort milk from the lunchboxes of schoolyard bullies. Mozzarella is loving and kind to good kids, but ruthless and feared by those who harass the innocent. By taking the milk from the bad and giving it to the good, the Mufia know the good will grow up strong and healthy to protect themselves. Milk is power. Milk is protection.
Now, I don't want any, listener email. I am not a supporter of the Mufia. That's a separate thing. I'm into the unicorns.
Okay. If you say so. I don't know, this Mufia thing. I could be a member of the Mufia.
Tell you what, after this recording ends, I will post a picture to the Bottle Crow Twitter of my little Tokidoki collection.
That's excellent. And I will go get inducted. What would you call it when you join the Mafia? The Mufia.
You get made, right? You're a made man. That's a thing.
Made? Oh, you know, I haven't heard that phrase in a while. What does that mean?
We do not have time for me to explain this. It's complicated.
That'll be on our Mafia podcast.
I do actually know the answer to that question. Anyway, Valve has other news for us this week because Valve has acquired the indie developer Campo Santo.
What has Campo Santo made?
So Campo Santo is a team made primarily of two writers that founded it, Jake Rodkin and Sean Vanneman, who folks might know from some podcasts like Idle Thumbs, Important If True, and also, it says here, this can't be right, Dota Today?
Huh? With Nick something?
Yeah,
I don't remember
Nick Brecken.
Right.
Nick Brecken and Sean Vanneman and also Brad Muir. Those are the three different hosts as time went on for that show, which is now like long gone, but did inspire me to start Bottle Crow. They have made Firewatch so far. They are working on a new game called In the Valley of the Gods. They previously, Sean and Jake, when they worked at Telltale, were responsible for the Walking Dead games, which were, you know, very well respected.
Indeed.
And
I really liked Firewatch.
Yeah, Firewatch was a good game. It's interesting because I've been following their stuff for a long time. They're vocal fans of, like, Sean is a big fan of Dota, plays a lot of Dota. Around 3,000 hours now, which for a game developer is pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of work to do. Jake is more of a TF2 fan and is really upset about the state of TF2, and now he's part of the company.
They're inside the Valve now, yes.
And then there's one other little connecting line there that's interesting. I've played Dota with Sean Vanneman, and he's on my Steam friends list.
And we've talked about it on a podcast before.
Uh-huh.
I remember that. So that means that now Bottle Crow the show is, I would say, 1 degree removed from Valve.
It's not too
technically
far at this point. Yeah, it's weird to think about it that way.
It's pretty weird. I mean, we have the, you know, our music is provided by, graciously provided by Jeffrey Bryce Promoti, who literally has music in Dota 2, but he isn't technically part of Valve. Now, you know someone, and you have played Dota 2 with somebody from Valve. That's mm-hmm. just pretty cool.
Yeah, I really like, it's one of those things where, you know, I'm sure I don't actually know him that well, but I've been listening to, you know, like Jake and Sean on podcasts. Sean less, he doesn't do as many podcasts these days, but I've been listening to them on podcasts for years, and they're pretty outspoken about their opinions on things they like, including like Valve and Dota. And now they're on the inside, and I guess like a part of me is kind of like looking for like for signs, right? It's like
little breadcrumbs.
I want to see like, you know, like a patch where I'm like, oh, I see, there's Sean's influence poking through in this Dota patch, and that's not gonna happen. But it's just kind of weird, the mindset it's put me into.
It is cool. I'm happy for them. You know, it's not mm-hmm. like some soulless company has bought Campo Santo, and now this indie developer is dead. It's that this small indie company, Valve, has acquired Campo Santo, so it means like they're interested in working together enough mm-hmm. that like they want them to just be a part of Valve. And it means that Valve has now finally reversed their trend of just bleeding writers, as far as we know, and they have gained writers,
mm-hmm.
which
Very
is a good thing
ones,
for me,
in my opinion.
Who likes Valve games generally.
Yeah, so there is a concern that now that they're part of Valve, they're never going to put anything out again.
Absolutely. It's a completely valid concern.
And I feel like, I mean, obviously I want them to, but also, like, even if they don't, I can't begrudge them that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was talking with a friend about this who doesn't know the situation very well, and who, a big part of the reason I'm friends with him is because every time we talk about anything, we vehemently disagree, and it's really interesting. And he was like, oh man, look at these assholes fucking selling out to this soulless corporation. And it's like, that's a, like, I said, that's a stupid take, because that's the relationship we have. It's like, if Valve came to me and was like, hey, we want to buy Bottle Crow, I'd be like, fucking write the check. You got it. I can't begrudge anyone who is willing to, like, as long as you're not selling to someone who's, like, literally amoral, like doing fucked up things and damaging society. It's mm-hmm. like, I can't blame anyone who's like broke as shit and wants to fucking put food on their table and get a 401k. Like, fucking go for it.
The thing is, I don't even think this is anything close to that, because Valve is not a large, well, they are no EA. They're no Ubisoft, right? It's not a case of a bigger company buying a smaller, more creative company. Asterisk. Because Valve is like this bigger company, and so they'd probably naturally be slower. But the thing is, Valve doesn't just, they don't do big company things. Like their mm-hmm. their whole structure is very weird. It's, I want to say, like, and I'm going to say it's more small generally, in that they're less worried about like big company stability type stuff, right? Like, they haven't released a real game in fucking forever, and they're supposed to be this game company. They make plenty of money off of Steam and, you know, the games they still do have, right? But mm-hmm. as like a game creation house, they're not just like trying to pump stuff out. And so I'd like, you know, all this stuff that I've said before on many other episodes, like when you're talking about other stuff Valve does, I appreciate that there is an entity in this space that exists that is like that. They're not afraid to just throw money at people they think are good. And, you know, I would think these people at Campo Santo, they're good, and they're good enough that they've come to an agreement with Valve to become one with them. So I'm excited for them.
And also, Valve is a company that has a reputation among developers, among the game industry, of like, If you can make it work, this is the place you go if you want to settle down and have a family. Because they pay you well, they have good benefits, they do not crunch, they do not, like, they're not going to destroy your livelihood to turn out a
they,
game.
Like, stretch.
They're not that worried about it.
Like, if you get into Valve, like, there's plenty of issues with Valve. We talk about them all the time. Mm-hmm. But if you get into Valve as, like, a game maker, I would think you're fucking good. Like, that's fucking great.
Yeah. So anyway, good for them. And good for us, because maybe someday we'll be able to leverage that. Hey.
I mean, I would be lying if I said I haven't looked at the job postings at Valve sometimes. it's interesting to see what they try to hire. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. If all it means is that I'm going to get better lore for Lore of the Week, because these writers are just hey, what if I write this description for this new sword we're putting in the game, and it's fucking dope. Like, I'm down.
You could get Sean Vanneman himself telling you how to pronounce Aegis.
It's actually Aegis.
Aegis, I see.
Thank you. All right, what's our next
topic? For that Lore of the Week. Should we do follow-up on our fight about Team Builder?
I mean, I don't know what the follow-up is, but sure.
Let's just do it for like 5 minutes. We have passionate thoughts on Team Builder, but I think a lot of my feelings on it that are just cringingly negative, and I have this guttural reaction, are because of the things I associate it with in terms of the ranked, the old, at least, you know, a few years ago, the ranked system of League of Legends. I really dislike that general community. It's, I believe, even worse than Dota's, generally. But also, I think it has to deal with what I think it promotes as, like, a system. And I think you said this, and you succinctly summed it up. It's the get-good-itude of it.
Yeah.
I don't like enabling people to get really good at this one thing. Like, oh, I'm really good at these skill shots. I'm going to spam this hero in this video game. And that's going to be encouraged and allowed by the game. Like, allowed is fine. I don't want there to be like, oh, you can only pick the same hero in a row 5 times. I just don't want there to be a system that actively kind of encourages and enables that.
Okay.
Great, let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, like, we did a bunch of talking off the air, and it's not like we haven't really come to an accord. We've just come to an understanding that, like, I don't think we're going to get anything about talking about it more.
Yep.
So,
people have different opinions sometimes on a podcast.
Coming up soon, Jackie's Chow, where we have different opinions. What's next?
Well, there has been pro-drama. Drama, drama, drama. I should create a drama stinger for you sometime. About the patches. And we didn't mention it when we mentioned 7.14. I think we did mention it when 7.13 dropped, and it was the middle of, like, DAC or something, right? Or just, like, the very beginning of DAC. And Envy was salty.
Yeah.
And Envy and a lot of people were salty. And now, as 7.14 happened, more people, like the coach for Secret, I forget his name, was talking about it. It's this new patch schedule where, what are we? We're almost 5 out of 6 months in. I think we can like talk about it now. I think I want to talk about it because the pros have started to talk about it more. Even Reddit starts to like actually have more thoughts on it. You know, God forbid Reddit not have thoughts on something. What would we do? It's good and it's bad. Duh. And especially the way they're releasing actually like strict kind of deadlines every second Thursday. Like, they released it in the middle of DAC. How do you change the video game in the middle of an event and have it be as competitive as it should be? And so Valve has said, they tweeted about on the Dota 2 Twitter, in the cases when these patches would affect tournaments, they're just going to patch at the end of a tournament. How this was not the plan the entire time, I don't honestly know. Like,
well, but that's not what they do in League. In League, they put out the patch, it just doesn't affect the tournament.
Sure, yeah. But it means, like, it doesn't. You're playing the same game.
Yeah, but in this case, like, I feel like one of the side effects of their approach is we're just going to get later patches. Like, if you're saying, like, oh, obviously we can't change the tournament in the middle of the tournament. Like, okay, fine. I still want the balance patches. Give them to me, the random pub player.
Yeah, I just can't believe that they ever patched in the middle of a tournament. Just
sure,
like,
that's
what?
True.
Is that really a thing you need to, because this is their 6 month trial period, they said. Is that a thing you need to experiment with? Changing your game in the middle of a tournament?
Yeah, it seems kind of thoughtless.
Like, can't you just, like, you know, it's Monday morning, Tuesday morning, you're having some coffee at Valve, and you call a meeting, and you're going to decide what to do on Dota 2 for the next patch, and you say, does nobody bring up, hey, isn't there this major event going on in China? Maybe we should not change the game in the middle of a tournament based on competitively playing the game. Maybe there was, like, a huge debate on, oh, it's, you know, it's an aspect of a team skill, how quickly they can adapt. I'm willing to have that be a knob you can turn in terms of, like, how you want to patch, in terms of how much you want to test how teams can adjust. We're not like an ancient game that never patches, right? There is an element of, oh, you have to adjust to the meta. And we've seen teams rise and fall as they can better adjust, better figure out, better exploit the meta with the tools they have in terms of the players they have. But do you really, who thought that it would be a good idea to patch in the middle of a tournament? Come on now.
Now, there's a part of me that wants to do a devil's advocate thing here and be like, but what about, like, the skill of teams to adjust to shifting circumstances, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other part of me that's like, we're 47 minutes in. Let's just go on with the podcast. So imagine for a second that I made that argument.
We even mentioned, I think, when it happened during DAC, maybe it was point 1-2 or point 1-3, where, like, Jack Chen, KBBQ, mentioned that, like, hey, he'd like seeing that as a viewer, seeing the teams immediately adapt. Mm-hmm. I guess maybe. But also, let's not talk about the pro scene. I feel like...
Deal.
Okay. I feel like a patch every 2 weeks is still too fast with the amount of changes they've been making per week. Like, if these were small balance patches, I like having that every 2 weeks. I like not having the complete reactionariness of how League of Legends is patched in terms of, like, immediately trying to hotfix something. But I don't like how much they keep changing. Like, did we even talk about the stat changes very much when they changed the stats? I think we did.
No, we didn't. But we, like, touched on it, maybe, but
barely. Like, Purge has a whole thing on it, and I watched it because I wanted to know the math, and I wanted to know how it affected things. And it turns out it affects things a fucking lot. Like, the way regen changed, again, like, this wasn't the second time, at least recently, when they've changed how mana and HP regen works. It's big. And these are just, like, happening every 2 weeks. Like, the change to Ricky's ult. Like, I'm glad there was a nerf this time, but why did they change it earlier? And then, in a vacuum, none of these things are bad, but the fact that it keeps changing so quickly, I don't think is good for a casual player.
Have you ever heard the expression, Knackermen profit from a plague?
No.
So Knackermen are the people who, like, it's an outdated profession. They're akin to undertakers. It's their job to clean up and sometimes, like, get something out of dead bodies, right?
I see.
And so, like, a plague is obviously a bad thing, but not for Knackermen. Business is good.
I see.
On our Dota 2 podcast, where we run out of things to talk about, please don't take this away from me, Nick. I don't care if it's good for pub players. We have things to talk about. It's great. I'm loving it.
Think of the video game. I mean, that is true, yeah. But, like, we have plenty to talk about. Like, on episode 94, we've got this down to where we can figure out good stuff, interesting stuff.
It's episode 94. We're so good at this. Listeners, write in and let us know that we're never wrong about anything, and we do a great job.
That's the thing. We're wrong all the time. We need to, like, have... Like, I don't want to have to have an interesting way to explain every week how they changed stats again, which is such a key part of Dota. Like, just the other day, like, maybe it was today. I was in a Discord server watching some people finish up a game of Dota 2, and somebody asked, like, they were thinking of what to build, and they were looking at Shiva's, and they're like, actually, wait, no, I think I need more mana regen. Which is better, Shiva's or Yule's? And then our friend Jack said, oh, Yule's, obviously. And then I'm like, actually, Jack, wait. Wait, actually, I have no idea. So I had to go look up the way regen works now. I had to look at the amount of int that Shiva's gives, which is, like, let's say it's 30 versus the 10 int of a Yule's, but Yule's also gives one flat mana regen, but every point of int gives you 2.25 mana regeneration scaling. And, like, half of our listeners have unsubscribed now. Like, they recently changed this, too. The fact that they keep fundamentally changing the game so quickly is, like, you can't even argue about whether it's good to fundamentally change stats and stuff like that, because they just keep doing it constantly. And, like, I like the changes. That's, like, my issue. It's not like I have a huge issue with any of the way they change stuff, and I think it makes sense a lot of the time the way they change stuff. But, like, for a pub play, like, we play the game a lot more than a lot of people, even. Mm-hmm. Even when we're busy. And so, like, you want to talk about ways to get, like, new people into the game, this is the opposite of that. To have to relearn. Like, think about trying to explain to somebody what the three numbers that are red, green, and blue mean. And then think about having that completely change. And so, like, that also affects how you have to itemize, like, what the best way is to itemize, how you think about itemization, all this stuff.
I think you're overselling it.
Really?
Frankly. Mm-hmm.
Have you looked at the changes to stats?
I mean, like, but here's the thing. There are other factors. Like, if I don't know the last time I was like, I don't care about anything else about an item, what has the most mana regen. I don't know if I've ever done that.
Sure, it's not like a vacuum, but if you need, like, when you're thinking about what item to buy, it's one of the things you think about, right? On certain heroes.
Sure.
At certain times of the game. So yeah. If you don't know, like, it's legitimately hard to know which will give you more regen, a Shiva's or a Yule's, based on what point it is in the game, which means, like, based on what stats you already have.
So, like, what do you want, like, a alt tooltip on an item that'll be like, this will give you X regen?
Actually? That actually sounds pretty good. Now that I think about it, like, okay. Based on your current stats, that would be interesting. That
like, would be, based on that your current stats, this is what this would do.
Mm-hmm. That's actually a good idea. But that's not, like, that's just an example to me. It's the fact that they keep changing it every 2 weeks like this. I thought these were going to be, like, balance patches, and then, you know, you have change over time. I think for the pro players, when they're not in the middle of tournaments, like, these frequent patches, a lot of them like Envy, who's been complaining about, like, the patch schedule. He likes the patch frequency a lot. It's just the timing and stuff like that. I think, as, like, definitely not a pro player, but definitely more than the most casual player, I can, like, barely stay on top of this stuff. And, like, I'm sure it affects my play even. So
I feel like we need to not stay on top of it. I feel like it's healthy that players at our level can't stay on top. I feel like there should be, like, I don't know that, like, I'm like a 2.8k player, right? 2.7 something. Yeah. I don't know anymore because the system's weird. But, like, I don't know that a player at my level should be spending a lot of time doing the calculations for how things, like, how stats are going to affect. I think that's not, like, that's a higher level thing. And I think if you keep shifting it, lower down players are just kind of going to give up on that. And I can see how that's a downside for some people, but also I think we shouldn't have to worry about that.
I think you think I'm trying to make a different argument.
I'm making a different argument to you, but my argument is, like,
you think that lower down players should just ignore what stats do.
No, I'm saying we get too granular and too obsessed with staying on top of all the changes and all the math, and I think it would be healthy for some of it to wash over us and be, like, things that popped up now and then. I think for, like, just as a concept, someone at my level shouldn't have as thorough of an understanding of the game as I do.
I mean, you're at a pretty high level to be 3K. That's, like, a decently, like, high level. You're above 50% probably at 2.8K.
Yeah.
And I don't want to make, like, such an example out of stats, because it's not just about stats. But stats are, like, so key. They're, like, absolutely fundamental part of the game. You have to know what they do. You have to know strength, gives you HP. You have to know Int gives you mana. You have to know Agi gives you armor and attack speed.
I mean, I guess ultimately this is me being selfish, right? Because the reason I like Dota, the reason I am here, is I like the pursuit of knowledge. And if the goal moves further away, that's great. If it's further from me to walk, I love it.
Then that's like the pro player attitude. I think.
I guess so. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm not trying to get good. I don't want to learn for something. I just want to learn.
But you want to learn to, like, create the best strategy, right? Like, that's why you want...
I mean, that...
Want to understand more about the gears and cogs of this complicated system?
I kind of... Like, there's a little bit of the former, but honestly, it's mostly the latter. Like, learning like, turn rates for heroes that I'll never play, like, that's just interesting, and I enjoy it. It's not because I'll use it tactically.
So... I don't mean this facetiously. Do you want to play the video game? Is it linked to wanting to play the video game?
I want to play the video game, but that's almost a separate matter.
That's very interesting. Okay. Huh. Okay.
I know. And this is a larger than just Dota. They're like fighting games where, like, I have looked up frame data for fighting games that I don't play anymore because I just think it's neat. And yeah. I like learning. No, I like the feeling of learning. Mm-hmm. So,
interesting. Yeah. I feel like that's very interesting, the fighting game comparison with like the frame data for how long different moves take. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, let me bring it back a little. The frequency of changes. I think.
Wait, what were we talking about?
Yeah, right. I think it's a bad thing if you want to get new players in because you can't. You can't have an earthquake every 2 weeks and expect people to like be able to get their sea legs that way.
Sure, that's fair.
Like it takes a while to teach a man to fish.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay, yeah. That makes sense.
I just feel I'm too like it's just a video game for me. I'm not a pro player. You know, this is like my favorite video game, and I play it a lot, and like I think a lot about it. But it's still like. It's a game for me. I'm going to school. I'm working. I don't want it to be my job. I will not have fun if they fundamentally change this too often because I'll just get so bad at the game and like all my time that I've invested will quickly be like made useless.
I guess what you're saying is, but my skill floor.
My skill floor. I am. I think I'm skaying. But skaying. Yep. But my skill floor. That is this week's episode.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. You know what?
What?
Is bread toast?
Once you toast it.
At what point does bread become toast?
When it's been toasted.
But like, what is toasting?
Like toasting is the process,
into the pan or something.
I believe toasting is the process of applying dry heat to a bread or bread-style substance.
What if there's like butter involved? Is that still dry?
I think if the butter is used as the method of conveying the heat, then that becomes frying. But if you put a piece of bread in the toaster with butter on top of it, that's okay.
Mm-hmm. How can you put bread in the toast? You know, like a toaster oven.
Yeah,
you could. That does make sense. Okay. Moving on, I wanted to shout out the frog in my throat. Ice frog is currently in my throat. Pardon me. And I'm back. I would like to give a shout out to something that has developed from We Like Dota, that wonderful Dota podcast that, you know, I stem from my Dota community involvement from. That was some good grammar right there. DotaTheme.com was created by Mark Messmore, who's a guy who does like a bunch of coding and stuff for some of the bots and stuff that We Like Dota uses in their Discord and in game. He's created DotaTheme.com, and this stems from their We Like Dota's Theme Thursdays that they do, where they get a bunch of people together on their Discord and they play different theme drafts in a lobby. So if you go to dotatheme.com now, Mark has set this up, so it will give you a random theme. They used to have like a Google Doc from this, and now it's just a lovely website. So I'm going to press give a random theme. Heroes who are Draconic, Dragon Knight, Jakiro, Puck, Viper, Winter Wyvern. Okay, that's pretty good. There's some good ones in here, though. This one is called Real Hats, Heroes That Wear Literal Hats, and there's a bunch of characters, like 20 characters, that have actual hats. If you're looking to have a good time, and if you want to do a themed Dota 2 draft, which I love, they're fun, head over to dotatheme.com. We have, let's get a good one, Punchers, Heroes That Attack With Their Hands, Alchemist, Darkseer, Earthshaker, Lifestealer. You have so many options here. Your final one is Be Smart, Don't Start, Heroes Using Tobacco Products. You got Alchemist, Bounty Hunter, Clockwork, Dazzle, Kunkka, Meepo, PL, Techies, Tinker, Tusk, Witch Doctor. Six, it's time to talk about all the tobacco in Dota 2. Tobacco 2.
Well, I guess if I was being controlled by a, like, basically a deity, right? Like an all-powerful rock that was bringing on the end of the world. It's not I'm going to have time to get lung cancer.
That's true. I would probably blaze it up, too. I would probably light the stick. Light the
210
hash.
Blaze it. That's the tobacco number.
No. Because it takes two tobaccos to have one weed.
That's true. That's what they say.
That is what they all say. Let me cue this up for you. That was the MLG air horn at half speed.
Oh.
We are okay. A garbage podcast primarily.
We usually talk about garbage on a podcast.
On a podcast. And I'm burnable.
All right. Well, Nick, it's enough stalling. There's some pro news. We're going to skip over it.
Oh, we are? But quickly, can we summarize in two sentences?
Okay. Sure.
OG is back. Sometimes. And sometimes S4 plays mid now again. I think that was one sentence. Second sentence, Na'Vi is back. Sometimes they play Windranger. They won against, spoilers here, they won against VP. They beat VP 2-1 in a series by playing Slark. And then Dendi was on Windranger mid 6.
Yeah, he plays a good Windranger.
Yeah. Thanks to Dendi for bringing back Lirelei.
You kind of butchered her name, but that's okay.
I'm literally Googling Lirelei pronunciation Emma.
I think you said it right the second time.
Lirelei?
Anyway, Jackie's chow.
Man, that was some good music.
It was great.
Nick, I could totally hear it.
What do you have for us to talk about on Jack? You took the lead this week on Jackie's Chow.
I did. I put on my Jackie's Chow hat. It's a little bit soggy, a little bit crispy. And I think last week you mentioned Mountain Dew Ice.
I did, yes.
And what did you describe it as?
I described it as basically 7-Up but caffeinated, right? It is a lemon-lime soda. But Mountain Dew's thing, one of its big things, is that they will take other people's drinks, and then they will add caffeine and then call it their own thing.
Really?
Which I'm a big fan of. They had their own grape soda, only it had caffeine, so they called it Pitch Black. They had their own orange soda, but get this, they added caffeine, and so they called it Livewire. No, this is a thing they do. They have their own Fresca, and they added caffeine and called it Whiteout. That's what they do.
Livewire. Wait, is that that's the red one?
That's the orange one. Code Red is Code the red. Code Red. One.
Man, it has been like over a decade since I've had a Mountain Dew Code Red. I can't even remember what it tastes like. Honestly, I can't remember the last time I had a 7-Up. I probably should have had a 7-Up too. But this week, I was at a convenience store, and I found a Mountain Dew Ice. And I had a Mountain Dew Ice.
How was your Mountain Dew Ice? You enjoyed it?
It was surprisingly citrusy. It's a completely clear drink, which, you know, it's not like the appearance of any of these actual sodas has anything to do with the flavor. It's all about how they want it to look, right? But it's completely clear. And it's very citrusy, and it was very, like, refreshing. But also, you know, it's a sweet soda type deal. It was quite good. I would endorse Mountain Dew Ice.
You know what beverage? Okay, so I'm going to keep assigning you beverages to try for next week.
Let me break
you
out.
Don't, you don't actually have to with this one. But before we started this podcast, I actually drank a beverage that I enjoyed a decent amount. I would say I enjoyed about 200 milliliters of it.
Oh, okay.
It is called a Kahlua Mudslide.
A Kahlua is in the alcohol.
Yeah. Oh, I've been caught. Yes.
Kahlua Mudslide. I think I've heard of this.
It's like 5%. It's basically just chocolate milk, but it's all right.
What is a Kahlua Mudslide, and is it not a White Russian?
No, it's like so they say it's rum and coffee liqueur. It's kind of like a slightly coffee-y chocolate milk, basically.
Wait, so what is the Kahlua Mudslide a thing you purchased?
Yes. Oh, so I purchased like a four pack of 200 milliliter bottles.
Ah, I see.
So this is a pre-made cocktail using Kahlua in the form of a mudslide.
So, like, does it have a dairy product in it?
I think it does, I think it's like creamer. You know, it's like dairy derivative, but like it doesn't expire. I think. As an alcoholic beverage, it has basically no information on the bottle.
Of course, because it doesn't have to. Somehow, baffling.
It's very strange. It's like, oh wait, no. Like, if you want to make like food, you got to tell us everything that's in here. Oh, you want to add poison? Okay, whatever. You're good.
Excellent. Just throw it in there. It's artisanal. It's like Tic Tacs. You know, Tic Tacs, how they can put 0 grams of sugar on the nutritional value, even though they are literally sugar, but because they have this small enough serving size, it's just 0 grams everything, 0 calories. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. That's just math. That's just rounding. Get your significant digits right. You'd be surprised how much a good significant digit will, how far it'll take you. I like Kahlua a lot. I like coffee a lot. I like Kahlua a lot. Like, I like Black Russians. White Russians are okay, too. I generally would prefer a Black Russian over a White Russian.
I'd be honest, I don't know the distinction.
It has cream or not.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, like a Black Russian, it's Kahlua and vodka, generally. So, like, okay. What I'll do, I'll get vanilla Stolichnaya vodka. And Kahlua, and I'll mix them like half and half, and that's like a Black Russian. It's really good. It's sweet, of course, because you're putting Kahlua in it, which is like sweet coffee liqueur. But it's good. I might have tried Kahlua on the rocks before, and it was not horrible. It was ridiculously sweet, but it was pretty good. But yeah,
you have one other beverage to put over before we start brawling.
Indeed. You'll definitely want to fight me after this one, too. You know how I was talking about a friend of the show, host emeritus Jesse?
Mm-hmm.
In the Dire Times podcast? And why was I think me, Jesse, and friend of the show Church were playing PUBG.
That Player good game Unknown's that you like.
Battlegrounds, yes. Somehow, you know, I mentioned Dr. Ticklebaum's Single Tango and getting delirious in Dota. It's pretty easy to get, or much easier actually, to get delirious in PUBG because of the lack of things that go on a lot of the time. Turns out there's a lot of downtime. We must have been joking about something. We came up, I think Church was talking about something that he about a Jackie's Chow. And, I actually can't remember how this came up, but we started talking about cider for some reason. And Jesse said that if I could on the show, without you noticing, say the phrase Dixon cider, he would eat a hat. So I never actually went to a pub and had a cheeseburger and a Dixon's cider, I would just, on the show, had to say the phrase Dixon cider to make Jesse eat a literal hat.
Okay, that's worthwhile.
Yep. So that's my admonition of the week. That's my lack of vocabulary of the week.
I mean, in the future, if you want to find other ways to make Jesse unhappy, we can just conspire before the podcast. It's fine. Yeah,
that's true. That's true.
It's a worthwhile goal.
I'm gonna have to. I actually did figure. I was searching in the internet. There's a lot of instructables on edible hats, mm-hmm. or like nacho hats. So you make a tortilla type structure, but it's in the shape of a hat, and it has like a nice depression, so you could put queso, salsa, something in like the top part of the hat.
Sure.
For like nachos.
The thing is, I have been privy to arguments on this matter before, and for it to be Jesse's hat, Jesse has to wear it for a day.
You know, I think that's a good rule. That is a solid rule.
Otherwise, you're just eating a hat. You're not eating your hat.
That's true.
So, I think Jesse would need to wear this like, food hat for a day.
I mean, there's titles and stuff for stuff like cars, right? You could have the deed to a home or a plot of land. Mm-hmm. I wonder if you could somehow get a notarized certificate of ownership for some sort of hat or, you know, other head covering implement. And then we could do it that way.
That's true. That seems like a possibility.
We'll work on it with our Bottle Co. legal team.
All right. Nick, the Bottle Co. legal team is going to be needing to send us some cease and desists after this upcoming argument where we tear the building down to settle Twizzlers versus Red Vines.
Bow, 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 bow.
Have you now had a Red Vine? Can you actually make this argument?
I've never had... I'm sure I've had a Red Vine. I'm actually pretty sure I have a memory of eating a Red Vine.
You talked about having Mountain Dew Ice, and I was like, oh, okay, so Nick must have actually done the homework. No.
I can't find any Red Vines.
It's more popular in California, but you can find it, at least in the Midwest.
Western hippies.
Oh, I know you can find it in Illinois.
Hold on, let me just... Amazon... Maybe we can put this on Red Vines... Red Vines Original Red Licorice Twists 5-ounce tray, 12-pack for $13. Ooh. I don't think I need 12.
That's savage.
Also, I can get a giant bucket, a 5.5-pound tub for $17, which comes out to $3.11 a pound. Maybe I just need to like stop by a bigger grocery store or something.
You better really like those if you're going to buy 5 pounds.
Sugar-free? Oh.
Yeah, that sounds terrible.
The idea of a sugar-free licorice with like Splenda or something doesn't sound great to me. But I am a young whippersnapper. How do you feel? Should we fight about it anyways? I think you should give me your argument.
Okay. So... a lot of my argument is kind of just about how Twizzlers actually suck. So they're basically just like smooth, textureless wax that vaguely reminds you that strawberries are a thing that grows somewhere on the earth, clearly nowhere near the plant. They don't really have a whole lot of flavor. You're mostly just chewing on a scented candle.
Yep.
And Red Vines are better than that. Red Vines are, like, actually a candy. They have a more interesting texture. They're not just perfectly smooth. They're kind of, like, very gently ridged in a way that is engaging to your mouth.
Wait. Twizzlers are ridged.
No, not the same. Like, the shape is, but, like, I'm talking about, like, the surface of them. They're slightly rough to the touch.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, they just have a much stronger, more interesting flavor. I don't know that I could describe the flavor because it's a real candy. It's just kind of... they come in red and black, and like any type of licorice, black licorice is garbage and disgusting.
Oh, interesting. I was going to ask you about that, actually. I like black licorice, too.
Okay, well, I bet if you like black licorice, Red Vine black licorice is just real licorice, whereas I think Twizzlers is like artificially flavored to try and pretend that it's licorice. So even there it wins.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I part of the allure of Twizzlers to me is the chewiness. It's like that texture of like I'm ripping into a Twizzler. And I mean, there's a difference. Like I don't know about Red Vines. Twizzlers can go bad, can go stale. Like if mm-hmm. you leave a pack of Twizzlers open, it'll get too hard for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I like being able to like rip. I like the firmness of a Twizzler.
A Red Vine will resist you.
It will. It's going to mm-hmm. fight me. I need to fight my food.
Yeah, I think if you try a Red Vine, you will have a better... I'm not saying like necessarily you'll agree with me. Mm-hmm. This could be just one of those things where like... So I was actually raised on Twizzlers as opposed to Red Vines. But I got into Red Vine early enough that it's one of those situations where it's like, you know how your brain, like, sort of after a certain age, just has a lot more trouble picking up a new language?
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot like that. Like, if you are on Twizzlers for your, like, until you're, like, you know, like, 20, and mm-hmm. then you try Red Vine, I suspect that you just have an expectation of what licorice is like, and you don't have room in your heart anymore. I suspect you're a cold, emotionless statue.
My Twizzler heart.
A robotic figure.
Breaky Twizzler heart.
Of misery and sadness. But if you're a warm person with compassion and love, you would enjoy a Red Vine.
Well, interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of person I am. I'll try to find some Red Vines.
While we're talking about candies, do you know what the most brutal candy is?
The most brutal candy? I don't know, Jawbreakers?
That's a good answer. I hadn't thought of that. Jawbreakers are rough. However, the thing is, Jawbreakers are meant to kind of test your patience, and if you're patient, you can just sort of suck away at them, right?
That's true. I may have a second answer.
Ooh, what's your second answer?
I might be wrong that this is supposed to be a candy. I think I'm wrong. All of our Iranian listeners, please write in, but fruit leather.
Oh, fruit leather. Sure.
Have you had fruit leather?
Yeah.
Okay. So you know what I'm talking about.
I wouldn't have classified it as a candy. It is sort of candy adjacent, though.
It's like, okay. Because I once had fruit leather. I think somebody... Wow, I have a weirdly intense memory of this, probably because of how disgusting fruit leather is. You crazy people. I think a girl in high school brought in fruit leather. She's not Iranian. Did she have Iranian parents? I don't know. To our, like, theater, like, group's rehearsal, and she brought fruit leather in, and she was having people, like, she gave it to people. I think it's an Iranian thing. Am I crazy?
You're definitely crazy. That's not an Iranian thing. That's just a, like, human beings making food thing.
Lavashak, Persian fruit leather.
Okay, there's a special kind. Okay.
Maybe that's why I remember. Yeah. Fruit leather, okay. Lavashak, and Vimeo. Yeah, okay. I think that it's a thing there. And so this must have been from there. But it was gutturally horrible. It was just abject despair in this fruit leather that I had.
Huh.
And so that's what I would say was brutal.
Yeah, that's weird. I'm used to, I've had fruit leather, but I've had like American-made fruit leather, so I don't know what you had.
What is it supposed to be? Because this is the only instance in which I've had fruit
leather. I mean, like, imagine like a softer jerky. Like, it's like jerky, but it's much softer. It's not that tough, and it's made of fruit instead of meat.
Okay. I understand it now. It's not a hard concept to grasp, but
yeah. My answer originally was going to be, I was going to just give a quick warning about one of my favorite candies, but also one of the most dangerous. Sour Skittles.
Ooh.
Now, sour Skittles have a lot of citric acid in them, and I mean, like, a lot. And the reason I say that they're savage is because I buy them from time to time. And if you have a pack of sour Skittles in one day, like just a regular, normal, like, Skittle pack, like for one person, the acid, when you bite into the Skittles, sort of, like, squirts out onto the inside of your cheeks. And by the end of the pack, you have eaten away at the flesh on the inside of your cheeks. it's like you bit your cheeks. It has scarring.
What?
Sour Damn. Skittles are brutal.
I know I've had sour Skittles. I can't remember how many years it must have been. But I mean, I remember how strong the citric acid is.
Oh, it's so good. It tastes
very
so good.
Sour. Yeah.
But do not binge those things. They will mess you up.
You want to know how he got these scars?
Yeah, I just felt the inside of my cheeks, and like, yeah, it's mostly healed, but like, I haven't had them in months, and I've done this often enough that they're you can feel that, like, no, that's not how trucs are.
Do you have a citric acid problem?
I really like sour food. I really like sour candy.
It's good.
It's very, very good.
It is.
Anyway, with that, I suppose rather random tidbit, I think we can call that an episode.
Yeah, I think we've packed all the garbage in, and it's time for you to take us out.
I was thinking that first we would go to dinner at Pachi's, and then we could go to a movie.
What is Pachi's?
I was just sort of picking like a generic name for like sort of like maybe an Italian restaurant or something. I don't know. I was just picking a sound. I was basically doing like you said, like, take us out, and I was doing like a dinner and a movie kind of joke.
Oh, that would be good. What kind of movie would we see? Infinity Wars is the big thing, but let's think smaller. Let's think Finite Battles. This has been Thesaurus of the Week with Nick Cease.
It's a good... You know what? Just for that, you got to do the outro. I'm sitting back.
Oh, that's great. Our music is provided by Jeffrey Bryce, a.k.a. Pomodi, on Reddit. You can find... It's Highlander. You can find Highlander in the Steam Workshop, and you can find his other work, Harmonies of New Bloom, in Dota 2. Our podcast art is provided by Ashley Wine, a.k.a. Svimi. You can find more of her art on twitter.com/Svimi, or request a commission of your own at patreon.com/Svimi. Bottlecore is a production of Scanline Media. For more on Scanline Media, you can listen to this bumper. And go to scanlinemedia.com.
Hey, Nick, what are all the shows I'm on?
You're on... Oops. There's some anime. You're on Short Story, Not Creative. You're on the Garnet Wage. The Garnet is actually my birthstone, now that I think about it. I'm born in January, so my birthstone is Garnet. So you can go to nicksbirthstonewager.com to listen to Colin's podcast with Alan Ibrahim, and they talk about a Korean game show. Six is also on... The Slip and Slide R Us podcast, a podcast where every week they talk about their favorite slip and slide and what liquids and what polymers they prefer to slip and or slide on.
You wouldn't think Elmer's glue would work, but it's actually great.
I guess before it sets, it's probably actually surprisingly good, right? Because it's designed to have it, like, a longer dry time, unless you get like a quick dry model.
You can't get the quick dry. That goes bad.
Oh, yeah. But it's probably
fun
to
peel
off.
And it's also good if you're gonna okay, we're gonna go slip and slide, and then we're gonna go actually sled, because then, like, you glue the slip and slide to your chest, and then you just jump down.
Oh, that's great. Has anybody ever done a slip and slide hot tub type deal? I bet they have. I won't Google it now, because we're too close to the end, the impending, like, cliff at the end of this desert that we're on. But I bet there's, like, a hot tub slip and slide. You do, like, heated water. It sounds like a good idea.
It sounds complicated.
It does.
Thank you for handling the outro. You did better than I expected.
Wow. Me too.
Great.
I was unexpected how good I did.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. And until next week, peace out.
Sure.